This program deals with themes of an adult nature and is intended for a mature audience.
Hey, Happy New Year. Welcome to the Two Bobs. I'm Rob.
And I'm Robert, and you're listening to episode 171 for Monday, January 10th, 2022.
On the Two Bobs, we're going to talk about, as always, the beer we're drinking. Nice. That's all I got for you. What's going on with crazy news, Robert?
We'll talk about crazy news involving a Florida man. Now that's dirty. Feeling the heat on vaccine mandates, a rampaging squirrel, gas prices are soaring, and the milkman cometh.
Man, season six of the Two Bobs.
Season six. S6 colon episode one. Or S6 colon E1, is that how they say it?
I know you lost me. Yes, I switched it up. I said Happy New Year.
You did. You did, and I've been practicing all day to make sure I was going to say 2022, and I almost messed it up right there, but I knew I would screw that up.
Did you say the date 100 times, just so you would?
In front of the mirror.
When I went back into work on Monday, I got at least a couple minutes into my workday, and where I had to hand date some things before I realized I was putting the wrong year. So, but since then, I've gotten better at remembering that it's now 2022, and this is speaking of which, this is the first episode of the year for us.
The year, yeah. And we just I pulled it earlier because we talked about it last episode right before Christmas when we took a little break, but our first episode was January 9th, 2017, and here we are January 10th, 2022, so a whole 5 years later.
Yeah, so we're in
celebrate.
We're in our sixth year of the Two Bobs.
Now you're doing math. That's too far. Yeah, I guess I would. We've completed 5 years.
2017 zero. Was the first year. Right. Well, it wasn't the zeroth year. Right. You know, it was zero years in, but it was first year that we were doing the show. I'll send you my calculation later.
Or something. That's common core math, I think. But no, I get what you're saying. So no, it's pretty wild. So congratulations. I'm still having fun with you. Somebody asked me about it the other day, and we still have a lot of fun doing this. So on to many more years, hopefully.
Many more years, many more beers.
As long as my liver will hold out, I'll be here.
Hey, bartender, another beer!
I got a good one today.
Robert, I happen to notice you haven't put your beer in the show lineup.
It should show up. I put it in. It's in mine.
Your internet must be janky then, because mine has not updated yet.
Oh, yeah. I did it on my phone probably 20 or so minutes ago.
So, well, that's strange.
You might have to reboot.
I'm not going to do that just so I can see your beer. Oh, no. It just showed. Okay. It just showed.
Yeah, it might be a little slow.
Oh, perfect. Yeah, it's a little bit slow tonight.
Yeah.
But anyway,
what are you drinking?
What I have is I'm going to our friends. I don't know if you've heard of this brewery, Founders.
Is it new?
New to the show.
Microbrew. The
yeah. There's a little local stop over here in Southeast Michigan. But anyway, we're going to Founders, which, you know, not going to even try to go back into the Two Bobs history and name all the founders we've had in the show. It would eat up a whole episode. But this is one that we have not had on the show yet. It's called the Fruitwood, which is a cherry ale, Asian maple syrup, bourbon barrels. It says we took a crisp, light body cherry ale and hid it away with oak barrels that have held both bourbon and maple syrup. After a lengthy stint, it emerged a changed beer, blanketed in notes of warm vanilla and earthy sweetness. The wood proves itself the star of this beer, adding depth and taming the tart. What did I say? I said it fine. Shut up. And taming the tart cherry, while the maple imposes a velvety texture that lingers for not a moment too long. It's 8% alcohol by volume. And I think I might have accidentally checked in the wrong year.
The year. Yeah, I hate when they... Well, I kind of like when they do that because it's... It shows up multiple times, but then you're like, well, which one was it? And sometimes they don't have a year on them.
Well, it says right on the bottle 2022 release. Okay. So the 22 release alcohol by volume came in at 8%, 15 IBUs. It says the calories, that doesn't matter.
No.
And its availability is January. So here we are. Right. I'm going to try it.
It's good timing. It's red.
It's very red. You can actually kind of see through this one a little bit. It's opaque. It's a red color, lighter than I normally would drink, but it smells. I can smell some cherry. I can smell some wood, I suppose. And
get that close to your eye.
Here we go. Yep. Ooh. You get a little bit of a tartness from the cherry, which I really like, but it's well balanced with that vanilla that kind of comes in at the end. You get a little bit of the oakiness, we're going to call it, as well. It's a lower, I should say, for their bourbon barrel beers, it's a lower ABV at 8%, so you don't get that super booziness at the end. It's just a very nice, smooth, but also a little bit tart and very sweet brew. Very good. I rated it, I don't know what I fucking
rated it. 4 3/4, Rob. I just looked because I wanted to see if I could find it.
Thank you. I rated it 4 3/4 on Untappd, as Robert had just mentioned. it's a good one if you can find it.
That's why I was
especially
checking.
if you like the tartier beers. It's not quite a sour, but it does give you that tartness and the fruitiness. It's really good beer. So again, if you can find it and you like that kind of beer, pick it up. It's a good one from Founders. They did not disappoint this week.
Now, is it a 4-pack? Did you say that?
I did. Yeah, I got this in 12-ounce bottles. I got four of them. Yep, I picked it up at Bushes in Rochester Hills.
Well, it says Total Wine near me has it, so I'm going to try to. That's why I was looking when I noticed your rating. So I'm going to try to get up there and get some. It sounds good. The tart part scares me a little bit, but I do like fruit, and as you'll see here from my choice today, I think. I mean, again, we've said it 1,000 times. It's Founders. It's going to be good.
Well, it's tart like cherry pie is tart, right? And it doesn't mean that it's not delicious pie. It just has that tartness that you get from the cherry. It's not overbearing at all. And again, it's really, really well balanced with the kind of like the tones of vanilla that you get in there. And speaking of Total Wine, I have not been to the Total Wine that they just recently opened by me, but Dave recently was, and he said that he wasn't super overly impressed with their beer selection. Hopefully it's just because they're new and they're still building up their stock, but he was just like, the beer selection was just kind of all right, which I was expecting to be blown away. Who knows?
You can check online and see what they have, which is nice for them versus some of the other places that are smaller. They don't have that, but I've done that before where I've looked to see if they have them. It'll tell you if they have it in stock, so I'll do that with this. Yeah. And tomorrow being Friday, maybe I can swing up there at lunch. Although we're supposed to get snow tonight, so who knows?
How much snow are you supposed to get?
Well, I'll send you a meme about what the D.C. area is like, but it's 2 to 6, they say. But the meme was basically, let's see here.
You guys just got a bunch of snow.
We did. We got 6 or so inches, depending on where you are, but... The meme is the map of the area with a big circle of the area. It says 1 to 78 inches of snow possibly expected, maybe. And that's kind of what it's like being here, the way we are near the ocean, and then we've got a mountain range off to the west of us. Yeah. It's very tricky for those folks to predict what we have. So it'll be interesting to see what we wake up with tomorrow.
Yeah, it's just been cold as fuck up here lately, and I'm right now it's 20 degrees here with the wind chill. Feels like 9. It's supposed to get down to 12 tonight. Going into next week, we have a couple times when it's going to be in the single digits, actually. So we're not getting the snow, but we certainly are getting just cold ass weather right now. Can't use a hot tub. It's even too it's too cold for the hot tub, because you'll get you'll get frostbitten on your face by sitting in there.
Not worth it. Well, this week I'm going to go back to my friends at Drecker Brewing Company, and if you follow the episodes for very long, I have some friends that are lucky enough to be near a place that gets the Drecker in fairly often, and they were able to secure me some a little bit ago, and I had planned to drink these over the holiday, but being sick as we had some various illnesses throughout the house. I really didn't feel like my immune system needed to be depreciated anyway. So I figured another good place to have it would be here with you. And the Drecker Brewing Company Slang du Jour Blueberry Cheesecake. And it's a sour, it's a smoothie / pastry beer or drink, I guess. I don't know if we really call it a beer, but I've had a couple of these in the past after I ventured into the sours after you mentioned them and some other folks had mentioned them. And I didn't quite like what I got. So Holly and her husband, Jeff, were nice enough to bring me some. And then they brought me some. So I drank those and I liked them, and they brought me some more off another batch of a couple different ones to try. So I love blueberries. And of course, if you look at me, you notice I like cheesecake. So I figured I'd start out with this one first. So the website tells us, actually the website didn't have it on there, so I'm going to read it off Untappd. But Untappd tells us that the blueberry cheesecake slang du jour sour a la mode is completely stuffed with blueberry, granola, cream cheese, lactose, and vanilla beans for one of the blueberry-est cheesecake-iest flavors we have ever cranked out. 6 point, yeah, I know. That's going to ruin me later. 6.7% alcohol by volume. Doesn't say any IBUs. And I was a little bit, when I looked to see if I had this one, because I don't really quite know which ones I've had unless I look on Untappd, because the ones that they gave me, I was a little bit discouraged by the overall average rating of 3.78, which a lot of these Dreckers don't have anything lower than 4, and many of them are quite high. So let me see if I can sip it and see if, actually, I'm going to take a bigger than a sip out of this. Let me see if I can pull out any of these flavors. I'm a little bit unsure if all that's possible. It's almost overwhelming me with the possibility if all those flavors are there, it's going to be quite a good beer. And if it's not, if any of it's missing, then I might be disappointed, but let's see. I smell it first. I smell blueberry.
I like the color.
Yeah, the color. And I don't have my other little screen on today, but or my virtual background. But yeah, it's really purple. Of course, it's thick. You can't really see through it. It leaves a little bit of residue there on the side, but I want to try it. Let me see. No, there's the H. It's a nice... I love it. I mean, it's a great flavor. I get the blueberries there.
Nice.
They're not overly sweet. There's a, like you mentioned with yours, there's a touch of tartness, which you can sometimes get from a blueberry. But then you have all those other flavors in there, the granola, cream cheese, vanilla. It's all kind of there. And then it does taste like you're drinking a cheesecake, a blueberry cheesecake. And the cool thing about it is being the sour, the smoothie sour, it has the thickness to it. So when we drink the Southern Tier beers and they have that, like you probably remember episode last year where I would sit there and I basically, it was the cinnamon roll, I think it was. And I kept the bottle up to my nose the whole time, just kept huffing out of the bottle because it smelled like cinnamon.
I do remember that. Yeah.
Those are very good. And the flavors are always spot on, but the beer is thin. So you know. You're drinking something, but this has the thickness to it that it's almost like if you had put a blueberry cheesecake into a blender and blended it up to where it was liquid that you could drink it. That's what this is. And I like it quite a bit. I rated it a 4.5 just as I took a quick sip before the episode, but I'll probably push it up there. I noticed that at least Holly rated hers a 4.25. And I don't know what Jeff did his, but I don't know, man, this is pretty good. I'm going to try to hit them up, see if they can't get some more for me somehow, or maybe the other ones, that was good. Maybe the other ones are going to be just as good, but this one knocks it out of the park for me. And I'll take that 4.5 and I'll raise it up to the max there at 5.
Wow. Yeah,
changed it there.
It is sour. They got
it. Yeah,
you.
It doesn't. Well, see, I think that's the thing Scott is it doesn't me. Have a lot you of know, the sour to it. It doesn't have that yeah. tartness that you feel it in your neck there, which is why I was a little bit nervous about what you had, but I'll try it because it's Founders. This one does have a little bit of it, but it's a lot more subdued than some of the others. So,
sure.
There's one other one that they gave me that I had a 5, and this one's right up there with it. So, thank you again to Jeff and Holly, and I'll be sending you another wish list soon.
Nice. Actually, Scott brought me a couple more last week. Yeah. While I was off, and a couple more sours from Holmes that were just really, really good.
Huh.
So, You know, you can find them. But like you said, it can't just be sour.
Right.
Like, I don't want to, you know, there's got to be a balance there. Yeah. You know, some of these breweries are just really good at finding that balance where it's not, where maybe you get a little bit of the tartness or the sourness, but again, it's not overbearing.
Yeah.
Where you feel like you got to like pucker your lips when you drink it.
No. And these guys are in Fargo. So that's kind of cool because I love that movie and I like the series too. I think it's on the Hulu. You ever watch that?
Hulu?
You ever watch the Fargo series?
I have not watched the Fargo series.
I think it was FX, but I think it's on Hulu now. Yeah, it's quite good. You should give that. If you like the movie, then you'll like the episodes.
Yeah, it's been a really long time since I watched Fargo.
Too much snow.
it's you know, it just I don't like the snow.
The whole movie makes you feel cold.
It does, and you know, and what is happening?
Oh, all right.
Somebody's just trying to file my taxes for me.
Oh, no. Nice.
Oh, they just want me to file my taxes.
Have Harrison do it.
It's not time yet. Go away.
You ready for some crazy news?
Have Harrison do it. Yeah, I got $1 million back, and then I'll get arrested. Yeah, right, let's do it. Crazy news.
Now these, since we missed a couple of weeks, we've got a couple extra stories in here today. All of them good ones. I think one of them short, so it might not feel like there's six stories in here, but there are.
Nice. All right, am I going? Sure. Are you going? You going?
I'm
going.
Take it.
You want me to go? Okay, I can go. We're going to Florida, uh-oh, Robert.
Why not?
Nothing to start 2022 like a quick trip to Florida. We're going to talk about a man who claims a bag of cocaine and meth found wrapped around his penis aren't actually his. A Clearwater man claims that drugs deputies found wrapped around his penis did not belong to him. 34-year-old Patrick Florence was riding in a car that was pulled over after police say he was driving around its lights without its lights on early Saturday morning. The driver of the vehicle was arrested by police for DUI and possession of marijuana. A search of the car uncovered a gun under Florence's seat. Deputies searched Florence and found bags of methamphetamines and cocaine wrapped around Florence's penis. Florence was arrested, and the report said he stated the package wrapped around his penis was not his. Somebody put it there.
Put that there.
The WFLA reports that Florence did not say who the drugs found on his person might belong to. We worry that Florence's case might not stand up in court, uh-oh, or at least his penis won't. As they say, possession is 9 inches of the law. You get it?
Yep.
I have a feeling he doesn't have 9 inches to show the court, though. I'm just throwing that out
if
there.
If he did, that's not his either.
No, it belongs to somebody else.
Oh man, I don't know how you expect that's going to go over. Like, oh, this is tied to me, especially there. It's not like it was in my bag or it was on the floorboard of my car where it could easily be placed there without you knowing. But that seems like it's one of those things that you either knew it was there or you didn't. And I'm pretty sure you did.
Look at this tool bag here in the second story.
Seems like there might be a few wires crossed in that brain of his. But this one's going to take us to our friends of the New York Post, and he's actually...
His face looks all beat up.
He's actually in Louisiana, but it's the New York Post covering it in Metairie, Louisiana.
We've talked about how sometimes different news sources from other areas might cover things outside of their immediate area.
Yeah, so they confuse me. But this is from...
Yeah, I can understand.
They should. From Metairie, Louisiana, which I believe is the home of the Swingers trailer park, just in case you were keeping track, but... It tells us that a man who faked being disabled to get his diaper changed.
Mamo, Louisiana Mamo, right. Is where.
Yeah, same thing.
Where T-Boys is.
Same thing. Both with them. This is a man who faked being disabled to get his diaper changed.
I'm not wearing that shirt. My T-Boys shirt tonight. I think it's dirty. I wore it the other day.
I had some nuggets too, so I'm excited. He was arrested after trying to get somebody to change his diaper again. That's the part that got me hooked into this episode, that this actually happened before. The story tells us he's still full of crap. Louisiana man who admitted to tricking a healthcare worker into changing his adult diaper by pretending to be disabled, has been charged with attempted human trafficking for allegedly pulling the same stinky stunt.
Human trafficking. Wow. Now,
I don't know what's going to happen with that with the diaper, but maybe we'll find out. Rutledge Diaz IV, I guess he's the fourth, 31 of
the fourth. That's the fourth.
Metairie was arrested last week after detectives investigated a text message in which he claimed to be engaged in alternative therapy and offered to pay a babysitter to change his diapers. He allegedly... I need to take that apart. He allegedly posed as a younger man with special needs and tried to recruit the victim to solicit other people to care for him. He was arrested at his home on Thursday, charged with one count of attempted, and I don't know why, human trafficking, and booked into the Jefferson Parish Correctional Center.
Why are they ignoring the whole human trafficking part here? They're very focused on the fact that he was wearing a diaper, but...
It's weird, yeah. Well, basically, he
also he trafficked humans. He was, but that's
well, no, he was just getting people in there to change his diaper. He was charged with 10 counts, and it says sexual battery and human trafficking after he tried to get people to change his diaper. So he has some sort of fetish, and he wants people to come in and change his diaper to, it says, you know, for arousal under the pretenses of being handicapped. So we've had a story about something like that before where the person pretended or they wore the diaper just to feel weird about it. And that's all it was. It's nothing in here about trying to do anything, which we would not cover anything and think anything of that was funny. But a guy posing to get somebody to change his diaper is just kind of weird.
But also kind of funny.
Right. Also kind of funny. If it was...
It's funny.
If it was too. The trafficking and the sense of the pay is very very serious and something that I do not like at all, so I would not make jokes about that. But somebody wearing a diaper and trying to get people is you know it's borderline, of course, as far as the shit factor.
If the headline had been man, you know, pretended to be a disabled teen and trafficked people. No. That we wouldn't talk about that, but the fact that he was wearing a diaper makes it funny.
Of all the things,
he's trying to get people to change his diaper for him.
Yeah, and we'll cover a story here shortly about how weird people are. But this is one of those where the lengths that some people will go for human interaction is pretty wild. And this is one of those. It's crazy.
I need a very small Phillips head screwdriver. So I can open up the screaming goat.
Try to figure out what's going on with him.
Replace. There's some LR41 batteries, which I'm pretty sure.
Oh, LR44. Those.
What? No, this is LR41.
Oh, it does? Weird.
Don't tell me what kind of batteries it takes. I'm looking at the fucking cover. It says LR41.
I just had to buy a ton of LR44s for some of our Christmas ornaments. So I bought a big old 10 pack because they all have like where the kids recorded on them and. Those take LR44. So I just bought a 10 pack of those. Interesting. So I'll ship them to you.
They won't work because this is a different kind of battery.
You should check to see if it's LR41, I think.
That's what it says, Robert. I'm looking at it. I'm pretty sure I have LR44s too, though.
See?
Anyway, we're going to go to Australia. Right. Good day, mate.
Speaking of the links, the people will go.
That's me. I talk in Australian accent sometimes. And this is a very short story.
I told you. The lengths people will go to avoid things, Rob. The other guy went to great lengths to have things happen. This one, he's going to great lengths to avoid.
Well, this guy set himself on fire, Robert.
And why, Rob? What was he trying to get out of?
Well, he was trying to get over job mandates.
No, jab.
Jab mandates. What's a jab
mandate? He didn't want to get his COVID vaccine, Rob.
I get it. He set himself on fire because he read that the COVID vaccine might hurt him.
Right, right. It might cause bodily harm. So what better way to get out of it than to just light yourself with a match?
Naturally. Idiots do things like that. A man set himself alight.
A light, Rob. That's
a light. I never used that word before. A light?
Yeah. That's the Australian for fire.
I have to add it to my vocabulary. Well, He's Labor Senator Mulderney McCarthy says the rising COVID cases in the Northern Territory are concerning. Wait, this is the same story.
What are you reading?
What happened?
You're so confused.
I must have accidentally clicked on something. Hold on, I gotta go back.
Yeah, you gotta use the back.
No, I did. And it just
there's only like three sentences in this one, and it doesn't have anything to do with what you just read.
You remember that one story? I forget what it was, but I was reading about a lady struggling to set free a weather balloon or something in a storm. It had nothing to do with the story. I'm like, why are we talking about this?
Well, I was busy doing other things. I was like, I think I was getting the next story lined up or something, trying to save a video or photo. And like halfway through, what are you fucking talking about? A weather balloon. The story was about chicken. What are you talking about?
A man says has set himself alight in Melbourne while yelling expletives about vaccine mandates in Victoria. Witnesses say he poured gas on himself and his car in Richmond around 8 p.m. last night. This is the shortest story, but we'll probably spend the most time on it. Police officers and firefighters doused the man in water before he was restrained with the help of witnesses. The man was taken to hospital.
Right.
Direct to hospital with life-threatening
injuries.
That's
Australian for hospital, Rob.
He probably got COVID. COVID at the hospital.
Right. He didn't die from lighting himself on fire, but he died from COVID at the hospital after he set himself on fire. Which isn't funny, by the way. That's just crazy.
No, it's not. If you or anyone you know is feeling distressed, Lifeline 13-11-14.
That's their 911, I think.
Why does it keep switching to the story?
In other news, the lady couldn't let go.
Then I go back. Yeah, the Northern Territory government ordered the snap lockout after recording 256 new COVID-19 infections. 256, that's in the United States, that's fucking that's not even newsworthy at that point. I mean, that's amateur hour right there.
That's also, in my neighborhood, I think.
You can call Beyond Blue,
right?
Which is at 1300-22-46-36.
It's a lot of numbers
in Australia.
911 seems easier. Oh man!
Important positive rap results are recorded in Victoria.
Well, the next one's going to take us to our friends at DailyMail.co.uk.
Oh yeah, I've been there.
And it tells us, and we've talked about us. I think the last time we talked about a squirrel, it was on heroin.
We need an episode after a squirrel.
I did. What was his name?
Oh, man, that's going to bother me now.
I'll find him. It's like T-Bone or something like that. Let me look here.
Yeah, it was something like that.
Oh, there he is. Pierce's sticky fingers. Oh, Eight Up.
Eight, that's right. Eight Up. Eight Up, the rabid squirrel that was attacking people. It was a gangster squirrel.
Episode 143, Eight Up's Next Attack. Oh, nice. Man. Well, this one tells us about a bloodthirsty gray squirrel that terrorizes a town by biting 18 victims in a 48-hour rampage. It leaves many too scared to leave their homes. They should light themselves on fire.
They still don't have to get vaccinated.
They don't have to worry about the squirrel then.
I know. No, you don't have to worry. Yeah.
Yeah. Bloodthirsty squirrel who left residence in a small Welsh town terrorized and scrambling for tetanus jabs has been caught after a 48-hour rampage injuring at least 18 people. How do they know it was him? Do they ask him his name? The rogue rodent. Maybe he's wearing a t-shirt. Rogue rodent began attacking pensioners.
They look for the one that was foaming at the mouth.
Probably. He had a weird tattoo on his shoulder. Children and pets in the gardens in Buckley, Flintshire, last week. Dozens of locals have now been left with cuts to their hands after bites and scratches by the same gray squirrel, who is nicknamed Stripe after the evil character from the Gremlins film.
Oh, yeah. He was the king of the Gremlins. Yep.
The squirrel's reign of terror was finally brought to an end yesterday when he was captured in a humane trap by 65-year-old Corinne Reynolds. and handed to the RSPCA. Despite befriending the creature, Mrs. Reynolds was also bitten on the hand and decided she needed to act after seeing multiple reports of squirrel attacks on social media. Mrs. Reynolds said, "I noticed yesterday in the space of 48 hours, he has attacked 18 people. He started attacking people who are just taking their recycling bags to the bin. It's the rubbish bin, and there are quite gruesome injuries." RSPCA confirmed that afternoon that the squirrel had been put down because it would be illegal to release it back into the wild. I wonder if he knows eight up. And then there's some pictures of these injuries. I'll stick the one with the giant club thumb in the show art. The Grand of Nine fed the animals since the summer and it has made regular trips to her garden while looking for food and shelter. "He's not a friendly natured squirrel, I'm afraid," she said. "He is a rogue one, and I'm starting to wonder if he got something going on inside his head like a tumor. The speed of it is frightening. He dashes from the roof of my garden shed to me. Tumor. And he does something. He does it to everyone. He just bites them. It has even bit an elderly person in the area. Hello. On one occasion, it chased a lad down the road, and Dad was left with a bloody cut on his hand. Because it's a gray squirrel, you can't release it. There's rules for that. Red squirrels are different." That seems racist. "A home care worker and her daughter were also left with bloody wounds after being attacked by the squirrel as they exchanged gifts on Christmas Eve. Outside under the tree, Jane Harry..." This is a long one. We're making up for the short one a minute ago. "Jane Harry, 55, first noticed what she thought was a playful squirrel when visiting her daughter's home in Buckley. But as she was leaving, the squirrel jumped up, biting her daughter, Chloe, 29, in the neck and hands. A panicked Miss Harry just tried to get the squirrel off her daughter before it launched a second attack, biting her three times on the arm." It's a very, very mad squirrel. "I was visiting my daughter after my night shift, and we saw what we thought was a tame squirrel," as if there was ever a tame squirrel you could go up to pet. "Then the squirrel ran up my daughter's leg and started running around her head, and I was laughing at the same time. The next minute, she shouted, 'The squirrel has bit me.' He went for her neck because he was a vampire, and she tried to get the squirrel off, and he bit her between the fingers.
Oh, wow.
The bite drew blood, and I started to panic, then ran at me, and it ran down my arm and bit me three times."
Phil, you should just not play with squirrels, even if you think they're playful.
Yeah, no. And this goes on forever with a bunch of people getting bit. I mean, there were 13 people. So everybody's excited that the squirrel was finally caught and he's not out there biting anybody and drawing any blood. They're incredibly sad to have to put the squirrel to sleep, but left no other choice due to the changes in legislation in 2019, making it illegal to release the gray squirrels back into the wild, which I don't think they would have done anyway because it was biting everybody. But anyhow, that's what they did. And encourage people not to trap them. It's now illegal. So if you trap it, you have to either release it or eat it, I guess.
Yeah. So funny story. This has nothing to do with what we're talking. Well, kind of a little bit. So I'm in my office today, this earlier part of the day, and I get an email from one of the ladies saying, Could you come up here as soon as possible?
He's a spider.
No, it was, we've had a bit of an issue with mice in the building. So like we've had Terminix out and they've put up traps and stuff. Well, first they put up a bunch of like the sticky, like the glue traps. And then they put in some, in certain areas, like some of the bigger, like metal ones, they go in and they just get trapped inside. Yeah. And so anyway, this morning I get called up into one of the offices and there's a mouse that has this like a glue trap stuck to his ass running around the building. It was actually kind of funny. But anyway, it's no longer with us. But
yeah.
Anyway, it was kind of funny because there's this white glue trap just like zooming around.
Well, yeah, those glue traps are nasty. We don't need to talk about that. Well, that'll be a different discussion another day.
I feel bad for him. Yeah. I mean, honestly.
Yeah, the glue traps are not that pleasant. They seem like they are. Oh, it's just glue. They're not.
Yeah.
Not good.
No, they're pretty inhumane, yeah. but that's what Terminex put in, so what am I going to do?
I just want the mice gone. And it plays the business, that's sure. Get them out of there.
Yeah, now, so we're going to go to wherever the...
Mashable.
Well, I know it's Mashable.
Yeah, Mashable.
Geographically, I was trying to figure out where she is, but it doesn't matter.
She's available anywhere you are, Rob.
We're going to Mashable, where a woman makes $45,000 weekly by selling her farts in jars. Farts in jars. opportunities to make money are everywhere. Just ask Stephanie Mata.
What if she wears diapers?
Though we'll find out. The former reality TV actor has been making $45,000 weekly.
Right in the wrong business,
by
Rob.
Selling her farts in jars. Yes, that's not a typo. The starting of 90 Day Fiancé show went viral on TikTok after disclosing to her followers that she tends to get things rolling with some beans and protein muffin, low sugar yogurt, some hard boiled eggs, and a protein shake. While waiting for the farts to develop, she claims to enjoy reading. I don't hate the play. Don't hate the player, hate the game. Hashtag 90 Day Fiance, hashtag 90 Day Single Life, blah, blah, blah.
A bunch of letters.
According to an interview with BuzzFeed, Stephanie, who is also the founder of 18 Plus fan subscription site Unfiltered, said her main intention is to try out hilarious ways to make money. Working on my own adult-friendly platform these past few months has made me very aware of the different types of niches and markets that are out there, she said. Over the years, I've gotten a few messages from men and women wanting to buy some of my worn bras, panties, hair, bathwater, etc.
All from diapers, farts, guys.
Yeah, I thought farts were super niche and also something fun. Quirky and different. It's almost like a novelty item. Now the only question remaining, did I really poot 97 times in 2 days? Leave your theories below. According to Stephanie, she usually combines her farts with fabric, petal, or flower to make the jar aesthetically pleasing. She also allows the scent to attach to them and last longer.
Right.
Fart right on the flower. Right. I also like to combine my product, in quotes, with something that smells like me. So I spritz one of my favorite perfumes in each jar to give customers the most immersive experience, she said. Although the smell is prominent for the first 2 days, Stephanie says the jar is currently going for $1,000 each.
We're in the wrong business, my friend.
After 50% off are worth it.
Yep.
So wait.
See? You see where we're going with this?
So she's making $45,000 a week. So she's getting 45 people a week to spend $1,000 on a jar with fart in it.
Pretty much. When you boil it down, that's what's happening.
One whiff makes a memory last a lifetime, she says in her TikTok video. That's
it's pretty wild.
If she got one person,
yeah, you don't. To spend the overhead's not very much, Rob. I know those protein shakes are expensive. 45
people, approximately 180 people a month.
Yep,
are spending $1,000 on a tiny little jar with a flower petal,
a fabric flower petal, Rob. So it holds the scent. And you don't even have to scratch it. You just open the jar, and for 2 days, you remember what it smells like, and you get another $1,000 out.
This is real? That's happening?
But Rob, it's Mashable. It's not, you know, it's not one of the other sketchy news sites that we use. There's videos of her, and I think I saw it, and then I saw this story on another site. This one doesn't have the videos, but I've seen the videos on one of the other news sites talking about it. So then I don't remember where it was. So I came across this one. It doesn't have the videos, but unless it's because the ad blocker, but yeah, she's talking about the same kind of thing. She's talking about the little thing. She drops it in the jar, and there's of course no video of her doing that, but she said that's how she makes the money.
I wouldn't pay $1,000 if she showed up at my fucking doorstep and farted in it and handed it to me in person.
No.
I guess I can't imagine paying any amount of money whatsoever for a fart.
No. And it, like I mentioned earlier about the guy with the diapers, you go from not really one extreme to the other, but it's the lengths that people will go. And the one is people spending crazy amounts of money, and the other guy is doing dumb shit to get people to come over and change his diapers. So it's a wild world that we live in. And I don't know.
When she farts in a jar, is it considered trafficking?
Probably. I don't know. I don't want to look up the laws on that, Rob, because it distresses me. But the change in the diaper and that is, you know, I guess it could be considered assault.
Are you afraid that you'll be trafficked yourself?
No, it's one of those topics that I feel strongly about. And
I mean, that's understandable.
So I won't. That's one of the things I won't look up. But
seem to be very sensitive about it.
Yeah, I don't like it. But anyhow, the last story.
For the record, I also don't like trafficking. I don't like when people are trafficked.
Yeah, I know. No. But anyhow, the Daily News reported it's going to take
I don't even like traffic on my way home from work.
No. That's why I'm going to go in the office next week, I think, for a bit. And hopefully the traffic will be good. But if there's snow again, I probably won't go. But anyhow.
It's got to get a blow-up doll for the HOV lane.
Well, if I leave late enough, it'll be fine. And then I'll have to leave early from there, so I won't have to worry about it. Well, our last story is going to take us to our friends at Daily News Reported, where it tells us that a DNA testing site reveals that a milkman fathered over 800 children between 1951 and 1964.
800.
He's a handsome fella.
He's getting it in.
Yep. Randy Jeffries was a milk delivery man in the 50s and 60s in Southern California. His route was in the San Diego area. So if you were in that area and you happened to get pregnant, it's probably his. Back in those days, milk delivery was how we got our milk, Rob, and how we got his. No quick runs to the stores or jaunts to the nearest Walmart. Week in and week out, Randy pounded the pavement from truck to doorstep. Over the years, he began to form relationships with his customers, and those times, the vast majority of his interactions were with the housewives. He was quite a handsome man back then, as he is now, and many were the customer who would request him. Frequently, pies and casseroles were made for him, Rob, probably a quiche every now and then. A lot of women were wives of servicemen, and Randy was the most consistent man in their lives. Overtime pies and casseroles turned into cream pies and blowjobs. Now, this was not the common knowledge back then because people didn't talk about it. Certainly,
TTB 171, cream pies and blowjobs.
Oh, man. People were discreet in their affairs in the absence of technology. So I'm just going to say, he didn't have a cell phone. The paper trails made a covert love affair for all the more successful. During those years, it was not unusual to find a child with different color hair than their siblings. Now, with the advent of home DNA kits to test your ancestry, more and more people are finding skeletons in their family trees' closets. A rash of adults in the San Diego area had controversial DNA test results, and where it was clear that their father was not blood relation, this led to all kinds of chaos. After some digging and research by a former FBI profiler, Randall Jeffries was DNA tested as a possible contributor to at least some of the births in question. After hundreds of tests and retests, it was shown that Mr. Jeffries did, in fact, sire upwards of 800 children. Because of their ages and laws at the time of conception, Randy was clear of any and all legal charges that may have stemmed from missed child support or the like. All these years, I thought I was sterile. My wife and I never had any children. To think at age 97 to hear such news, what a blessing. I now feel so fulfilled and can't wait to meet all my children.
He also owes $8 billion in back child support.
No, they said that, Rob. You weren't listening. Said because it's old, and he doesn't owe that anymore because they never really had a way to keep track of all of it. So he's off the hook.
And this is 100% real. Right. So obviously, you know,
yeah,
we can trust.
If this is World News Daily Report, they said he'd have a fine of like $10,000 and week in jail. But no, he's off scot-free on Daily News Reported.
Speaking of Daily News Reported, there's some other stories on here. I don't know if you saw this one. The prostitute meets her biological father while having sex with him. Or this one here, the woman who drowns in her sleep while breast implant bursts open.
Fidget spinner sucks up the man's anus is successfully removed.
600-pound woman finds out she's 11 months pregnant.
With a really big-ass baby.
Shit erupts from yoga teacher's ass. Several students get blasted in the face.
Oh, man.
All right, there we are.
Well, there was a story in here earlier, and I don't remember where it was, but I actually recognized the person in the photos, which is not something that happens often when you're looking through these type of stories.
It's, you know, the stock art only goes so far. There's only so much of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, hey, wait a minute. I know that guy.
That's great.
Oh, man.
Apparently them and World News Daily Reporter are maybe sharing some artwork.
Yeah, probably. But
a little bit.
Well, damn, anyhow. Well, hopefully you had a great Christmas and a happy new year, and glad to be back with you here for 2022, and we'll keep on moving. Yeah,
you too.
This was a fun episode to do. We'll see you next week.
See you next week.
All right, bye.
This preceding show is brought to you with joy by the two Bobs. No words of their own. Not of anybody else in the world, because nobody else would fucking own up to this shit. And you can subscribe to our podcast or just go to the fucking twobobs.com. Stop being a little bitch and just own up and do it.